translation. Please explain all the different ages in the duration of the creation and also the duration of such ages. Also, tell me about the different activities of the different incarnations of the Lord in different ages. Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, although none different from him, are emanations from the Supreme. Maharaj Parikshit inquired from the great and learned sage Sukadev Goswami about the different activities of such incarnations, so that the incarnation of the Lord might be confirmed by his activities in the authoritative scriptures. Maharaj Parikshit was not to be carried away by the sentiments of the common man to accept an incarnation of the Lord very cheaply. Instead, he wished to accept the incarnation of the Lord by the symptoms mentioned in the Vedic literatures and confirmed by an acharya like Shukadeva Goswami. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai. The Lord descends by his internal energy without any obligation to the laws of material nature, and thus his activities are also uncommon. The specific activities of the Lord are mentioned, and one should know that the activities of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical due to being on the absolute plane. Thus, to hear the activities of the Lord means to associate with the Lord directly. An association with the Lord directly means purification from material contamination. We have already discussed this point in the previous volume. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timarantasya gyananjana shalakaya chokshur unmilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, but my spiritual master has forced open my eyes with the scalpel of knowledge. I therefore offer my humble obeisances unto him. Vanja kalpa turubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha potitanang pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti Vaishnava brinda ki jai. So there's a great urgency that Maharaj Parikshit is expressing. He knows he's got 7 days to live, so he's become very serious. And Srila Prabhupada would sometimes make the point, we don't know how long we've got, 7 years, 7 minutes. We should be even more serious. Put aside the distractions. It's described that Maya has two kinds of energies, covering, making us forgetful, and throwing, distracting us. There we are, chanting our japa, and then our news feed comes along, or some pretty bhaktin walks by. And for so many years, or minutes, or whatever it may be, we're distracted, we're thrown. This is the throwing potency. So the fact is, I mean, I'm certainly noticing, you know, age. I'm visiting England now for the first time in a while. I'm seeing lots of familiar faces, but those familiar faces have wrinkles and grayer hair. And just yesterday, we were young people. So please don't be deluded by the material energy, the Maya, that we've got unlimited time. When we're young, we think we're bulletproof. We think we've got all the time in the world. We've got time to be frivolous. We can get serious later. Actually, we've got no time at all. There's a famous verse, famous song, Bhaja Haremana. So it describes, my dear mind, please just repose yourself at the lotus feet of the son of Nanda. This human life is rare. Dulabha manava janama satsange tadaho e bhava sundare. You've got to take advantage very quickly of the association of devotees. In this way, Maharaj Parikshit is taking the association of Shukadev Goswami. He wants to hear directly from the lips of a realized soul, because that way he'll pick up some of the taste and some of the realization. This is our process. Later on, Edana Jovana Putra Parijana Ite Kiyachi Paratitire. What assurance of happiness is there in all of one's youth, wealth, family members, sons? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. At any moment it can fall. We have no idea. And therefore this urgency, this sense of seriousness. We're lucky if we've been exposed to Krishna consciousness in our youth, while we still have all of our faculties. We still have so much time available for purification, so much time to render service. We should dedicate it without delay. As we know, when the Pandavas were in exile, at one time they drank from a poisoned lake. Some yaksha had, you know, created some device there. And with the exception of Yudhishthira, the Pandavas left their bodies. They died. Certainly they were there unconscious, and it appeared that there was no life left. And this yaksha, who was actually Yamaraj or Dharmaraj in disguise, he came and they asked a series of questions. One of those questions is, what is the most wondrous thing, the most amazing thing, the thing that you can't imagine? And he was pleased with Maharaj Yudhisthira's answer. Every day, people are being carted off. We're seeing it now. Bhurijan Prabhu called this the decade of tears, because so many of the devotees now, every day, you're noticing people are leaving. And this is actually horrific. This is one of the things about this material world. But we like to keep it somehow in the background. People don't even like to talk about death. Prabhupada was unique in that aspect, that he confronted us. You are mortal. Get used to it. And now you're actually an eternal soul. But this body, you will die. So take time now as an immortal soul to reawaken that lost relationship with Krishna. How is that relationship awakened? Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Saduka Bunai Shravanadi Suddha Chitte Karaye Udai. By chanting, by hearing and chanting, Shravan Kirtan. That's how the heart, Shuddha Chitte, the heart is purified. And that dormant Krishna consciousness, this is a word that's used, awaken. So something that's awakened means it's there in a dormant condition. There's big debates nowadays. Is the bhakti dormant, or is it something that we have to acquire? Srila Prabhupada was very clear on this, that Krishna consciousness is already within us. It needs to be reawakened, and it's reawakened by hearing and chanting. But we should also think about the quality of our hearing and chanting. We see here, for instance, that Maharaj Parikshit is plying questions. In fact, the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam is just Q&A. It's one series of questions and answers. In the beginning, the sages of Naimisharanya asked 6 questions to Suta Goswami. In the context of that conversation, we hear about Maharaj Parikshit questioning Sukadev Goswami. And within there, Maitreya Vidura and so many other conversations are taking place. And actually, we need to take a clue from this. It's nice to come and listen and have the words by some speaker wash over you and so on. But you sometimes wonder, how much have I retained? How much have I assimilated? How much have I absorbed? We have to also be involved in speaking something. And our questions are really important. We hear that in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada often challenges, don't be a blind follower. And don't ask absurd questions. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena. Pariprashna means to submissively ask questions. Lord Kapila talks about doubt in the 3rd canto as a function of the intelligence. The scientists would also agree with this idea. Unfortunately, they think that doubting everything is a virtue, because in the age of Kali, it's an age of mistrust. Most people that we would place trust in will probably let us down because they're feeble. They're corrupted in some ways. So it's very rare to find someone that you can trust. But even the spiritual master, we should test the spiritual master. And the spiritual master will also test the disciple. These comments are used. What does that test mean? Of course, this test is prior to committing and surrendering. But the one should ask questions humbly. Our doubt should be that when we're hearing a passage, we're fully engaging with what we're hearing. Do I understand that fully? Do I understand that properly? Have I internalized that? Is it something I could speak to others about? It's one of the reasons that we're also called to preach. Yes, part of it is that Lord Chaitanya wants his message to reach everybody. But part of it is for our own growth as well, because when we have to try and articulate something, that's when we actually get a sense of how much we've really understood it, how much we've really made sense of it. So Lord Chaitanya would say, Jare dekha tare kaha Krishna upadesh, ama agai guru haya tare eidesh. He's ordering everyone to be a guru. Nowadays, again, we have so many debates. Who's fit to be a guru? Well, Lord Chaitanya is saying, you should all make yourself fit to be a guru. That's the program. That's the pay it forward program. You can't pay it back. You can never pay the debt to the spiritual master. There's nothing we can do to earn the mercy of the spiritual master. But what we can do is whatever benefit we've derived, whatever we've heard and assimilated, we can pass it on for another's benefit. In this way, big pay it forward scheme that Lord Chaitanya enrolled us all in. Srila Prabhupada has enrolled us all in. So here the questions that Parikshit Maharaj is asking. Please explain all the different ages in the duration of the creation, all the duration of such ages. Please tell me about the different activities of the different incarnations. Essentially, he's prompting the speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is, in essence, the content of Srimad Bhagavatam. It tells us the different ages. It tells us how creation happened. And it tells us about all the different pastimes of the Lord. Seventh canto, we have Lord Nrsimha. Eighth canto, we have Lord Vaman. Ninth canto, we have Lord Ram. Tenth canto, we have Lord Krishna. So in this way, all the Dasa avatar, all those Leela avatars, and even the Guna avatars, all of these personalities. We also hear about all the great souls, Dhruva Maharaj, Jad Bharat. All of this content, this Krishna Katha, is there to enliven us. And our main aim in this life is to develop some taste for this Katha. We're bombarded by messages every single day, and most of those messages do not have our best interest at heart. They have someone's profiteering at heart. If we're jammed in front of our phone all day, this is the new distraction strategy of Maya. You know, give us a little device. We can think that we're God. Oh, I am now omniscient. Now I can bring far things close by my mystic powers. And for many hours, we can just be completely captivated by, you know, algorithms. Some little piece of code that some person wrote to capture our consciousness. It's very scary. And you know how they've worked out what captures our consciousness the best? Making us angry. That's what the algorithms have found out. We can get people clicking if we make them angry. As if we weren't already messed up enough. Now we're in a constant state of agitation. And of course the advertisers have been onto this for so many years as well. What is their main button that they're pressing in us? Making you feel some insufficiency. You have to have this product. Only if you have this product will you attract the ladies. Will you become prestigious? Will you become a successful person? So they're constantly manufacturing want, manufacturing desire. This is such an unfortunate thing if we don't develop that taste for Krishna Katha. Srila Prabhupada quoted one of his most commonly quoted verses, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Etang Yovati Tattvata, Takta Dehang Puna Janma, Naiti Mamiti Sojana. By properly understanding, in truth, this word tattvata is used, in truth, the nature, the divine nature of Krishna's pastimes, his appearance, and upon leaving this body, one goes back home, back to Godhead. What a wonderful thing. Like we're in the age of Kali, the least qualified, and yet we've been told about Krishna of Vrindavan. This is very rare. There's a wonderful verse by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's almost like the credo. Most religions have some kind of statement of the core beliefs. In Catholicism, when I grew up, it was the credo. I can't recite it anymore, but I remember it was the basic tenets of the faith. Well, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti summed it up, Sri Chaitanya Manjusha, Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. Krishna, Bhagavan, who we worship, is none other than the son of Nanda, Bradesha Tanaya, and his holy abode is Vrindavan. Ramya kachid upasana vrajubhadu bhargena yakolpita. What's the best method of worshipping Krishna? That which was exemplified by the cowherd damsels of Braj, the milkmaids of Vrindavan. That unconditional love that they had. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumata Mahan. Prabhupada used to quote this Prema Pumata Mahan a lot. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything. And Prema Pumata Mahan, love of God, is the supreme goal of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matanitam Tatradara Napuru. These conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the highest, and there's nothing else. There's nothing beyond them. So we should find a way to absorb ourselves, not just in passive listening. Of course, it's good to attend daily Srimad Bhagavatam class. It's good to read Srila Prabhupada's books daily. And we should also get good at conversing. In the essence of Bhagavad Gita, we have the matkita matkata prana bhodayanta parashparam katayantastha magnityam tusyanticha ramanticha. It's one of the four seed verses. If you only knew four verses from Bhagavad Gita and this one, 10.9, you learn this one, you will learn the essence of Bhagavad Gita, the heart, the cream. So this hearing and chanting, katayantastha, this is what we should be filling our days with. And it's important to seek out devotees who have a taste and who have realization and can actually infect us. I always think of Krishna consciousness as some kind of infectious process. You have to find someone with a really strong strain and hang around in their presence and put questions to them. There's so many words. This word questioning, jigyasu, we actually see it appearing again all over Srimad Bhagavatam, this idea of being inquisitive, having an eagerness to know, an appetite, a wanting, a longing. We should be pressing people to squeeze the information out of them and squeeze the realization out of them, respectfully, but with great eagerness. Another word that is used is sususubi, which means receptive, humble. So these are important conditions, and Maharaj Pariksit is showing us. All the way through, he's in many ways inspiring Shukadev to share. Srila Prabhupada would describe like that. It's like a potent male and a fertile female. If the listener has a very ardent desire to learn, and is super receptive, then it actually inspires the speaker. And, the speaker becomes especially disposed to trying to assist and trying to help. Because Krishna is the one who is overseeing those interactions. Krishna explains a little bit later there in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhiyogam tam yena mamupayanti te. If you have that appetite, I will reveal things to you. I will, to show you mercy, I will awaken knowledge within you. Vishwambhar Prabhu and I were talking the other day about the South Indian Brahmana. Lord Chaitanya met him at the doorway of a temple. He was leafing through. I'm saying leafing very deliberately because in those days it was before the printing press. If you had a copy of a book, it's because you'd handwritten it on a palm leaf. And it was somehow bound. Sometimes you can still go and see those old, old literatures. The dedication was something. Anyway, he was leafing his way through and he was crying and people were ridiculing it. And Lord Chaitanya asked him what he was doing. He said, well, my spiritual master has instructed me to daily go through Bhagavad Gita, so I'm doing my best. But why are they mocking you? Why are you crying? Well, they're mocking me because I'm actually illiterate. I can't read, but because my spiritual master ordered me, therefore I'm doing my best. And why are you crying? Well, no, that's a different thing. It's not that they bother me. But whenever I'm leafing through, I somehow, this picture of Lord Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna comes to mind. Driving a chariot, think about that. You know, in the Hollywood movies they say it's always the driver that gets it first. You know, the driver is in harm's way. He's not himself armed. He's actually there with the horses kicking up all of their dust. In the evening, his duty is probably cleaning out the stable of all the manure. This is what it means to be a chariot driver. High danger and menial activities. So he's thinking, this is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he loves his friends so much that he's prepared to do that. Wherever I think of that, I become overwhelmed. Lord Chaitanya said, you're the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. You're the real authority. Krishna revealed something. We don't actually hear too much about Sakyaras in Bhagavad Gita. In Prabhupada's purports, we'll find that. But it's not actually that Krishna himself expounds on the virtues of Sakyaras. And yet this person, just by having faith, what is that verse? Yasya devi parabhakti yata devi tathagato tasyaite katitakata prakashante mahatmana. If you have implicit faith, I always love the fact that this word implicit is there. There's a lot of people declaring noisy faith. Notice how much faith I have. I'm the most virtuous. I'm the most renounced. We are the most sincere. We're the most Vedic. All of these virtue signalings about how explicit, you know, explicitly qualified I am, but this word here is used implicit. What does implicit faith mean? It means if your spiritual master tells you, I want you to go and spread Krishna consciousness in the West, even at the age of 70 with 40 rupees in your pocket, no contacts, you'll go. The single most amazing act of faith ever. The most extraordinary. We're all here because of that courageous act of faith. So yasya devi parabhakti, if you have implicit faith in Krishna and Guru, all of the imports of Vedic knowledge will be revealed. It's not even an information exchange, like I'm downloading information. Sometimes even just being in the company of a devotee and being in exchange with sincere inquiry and receptiveness, insight is something that Krishna is awakening. It's not by our intellectual prowess. Look at me, I have read so many books, I am the most learned. It's actually by blessings. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. We can't get to the goal without mercy. Ours is a process of revelation, of descending knowledge. An intellect, Prabhupada even says it in the purport to say, Tesham Sotati Uktanam, intellect is not an obstacle. You could be a simple person like our blind brahmana. But if your humble mood is there, if your inquisitiveness is there, if your eagerness to know is there, Krishna reveals. Krishna gives all guidance. We don't have to bang down the doors of Goloka. I'm ready to be let in. I'm doing so many good rounds. No. We actually have to just humbly petition and humbly serve. That's the process that we've been given. Let me just check my notes, otherwise I might leave some time for questions. If you don't ask any of me, I'll ask them of you. Yeah, so I also wanted to talk about this idea. We've made great emphasis on the Diksha Guru in our society, and the Diksha Gurus are still few and far between. And often, one may have taken initiation, but the person from whom we take initiation and we'd like to get guidance may be overseas. Of course, we have emails. But actually, Srila Prabhupada created a network of sadhus, a network of devotees from whom we can learn, to whom we serve, whom we can befriend. And that's not to minimize the relationship. The idea of bhajana kriya is that, so if we go through the steps, and the steps as outlined by Srila Rupa Goswami, adoshradha tathasudhu sangutha bhajana kriya tato nata nivritti syat Tato nishta ruchistata. So that's the first verse, goes through the first six steps or something. Shraddha must be there. Shraddha, we often translate as faith. But as we know, most Sanskrit words have much broader meaning than any one English word as an approximate can capture. I remember Bhakti Charuswami used to say, Shraddha also means respect. It means a positive appreciation, a positive emotion. If you read through all the places Prabhupada quotes Shraddha, he's sometimes even just using it to talk about, you know, any kind of positive appreciation or curiosity. All of these things constitute Shraddha, that little awakening. That's how we can see how Prabhupada would say, just if they even touch a book, if they even one word. Now, with our rational brain, we go, how are you going to get the whole meaning from one word? Now your life's going to... It's just not rational at all. No, but the point is, if they go, oh, this looks interesting, that's enough for the Lord in the heart to say, this person's on the path. Now I'm going to give them a little more encouragement to keep coming along the path. I'll arrange for them maybe to meet devotees again. Krishna wants us to go back more than we want. So he's looking for even the slightest excuse. If he sees that we're depleted in our material ambitions, exhausted, we're finally a little beaten up and curious, and there's any sincerity to our calling out to the Lord of the universe, please help me. That's it. Krishna's now starting to pull all kinds of strings. So what comes after the Shraddha? And what's... So this is just my own thoughts about steps. You could think of steps like when we're stepping, moving from one place to the other. So by the time you take step number three, you've actually left step number one. Does that make sense? If we're thinking of it in that way. But then the steps like a staircase, where the foundation provided by step number one continues to support step two, step three, step four. So at least in my thinking, Shraddha never becomes something that you've left behind. I've moved on to Sadhusanga now. I've moved on to Bhajanakriya now. No, Shraddha is the foundational condition, an appreciative condition. When we lose that spirit of appreciation, and Maya is so good at throwing us, you know, some devotee that looks at us the wrong way, or, you know, something goes a little wrong, and we can instantly become permanently in a critical mentality. Because again, that doubt in Kali Yuga, that's our defense mechanism, to doubt everything and everyone. So Shraddha, we somehow need to maintain that favorable attitude towards devotees. And then Sadhusanga, mixing with devotees. But that mixing is what's described here, plying with questions. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shishi Gonitai ki jai. Plying with questions, serving. Pariprashnena Sebaya. So serving is also there. And then Bhajanakriya means to take up the regulative practice of devotional service under the guidance of at least one such sadhu. So generally sadhu sangha matures into Bhajanakriya with the accepting of initiation. But it doesn't mean that we've got my guru now. All these other sadhus are sort of, thanks for participating. You're no longer required. You're just chumps now that I'm competing with to earn the favor of Guruji. I want to be the first amongst you. That's not the right condition. The more guardians we have, the merrier things will be. And by discharging devotional service, maintaining that favorable attitude in the association of devotees under the guidance, that's what, as it's described here, leads to our purification. Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I've left 12 or so minutes if there are any questions. I'm going to be really disappointed if they're banging on about questions, there's no questions. Adi Guruji. Yeah.
feel anything or we don't understand it. But it seems that you were still getting some benefit like that.
Srila Prabhupada even told some of his disciples off when they left a Hindi lecture. He was speaking, and they couldn't understand a word. And so they thought, oh, I'll go and do some service, I'll finish my rounds, whatever. Prabhupada, where are you going? Sit, listen. So yeah, we might have just a complete rational view by processing those words and by understanding. It's actually a little different than that. Like Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aike, we sing it every day, right? Make the words coming from the spiritual master's mouth one with your heart. I know that sounds a little different from the way we normally recite the translation, but that's what it literally means. Guru Mukha, the mouth of the Guru. Padma Vakya, the lotus mouth. Chitete Kori Aike, make them one with your consciousness. Make them one with your heart. And Ana Koriho Mani Ash. Don't desire anything else. Don't have any other aspirations. Don't have any other agendas. So, yeah, somehow. Again, that faith. I actually forgot to mention, when Srila Prabhupada was arriving in Boston, and for a day or so, I think there was quarantine or something, he had to stay on the boat. So he was just looking and making some sense of America, you know, a few hundred meters away or whatever. And already he could see, you know, people rushing around, going about mundane affairs and so on. And he composed that Markine Bhagavad Dham, Preaching Krishna Consciousness in America. How will I make them understand your message? Most of the population is here covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. But I know you can make anything possible. You're the most expert mystic. So he's musing like this. And his very, very last verse, I wish I knew the entire verse in Bengali, but Bhakti Nai Bed Nai, he says, I don't have any devotion. I don't have any knowledge. So I've got this big name, Bhakti Vedanta, but I don't have Bhakti and I don't have Veda. But I do have faith. And if you like Krishna, you can reveal the real purport of Bhakti Vedanta. It's like he's having this little cheeky conversation with Krishna. Where he's saying, I suspect you have some scheme. So if you like, if you want to reveal how this faith leads. So it's very true. There are times I got instructions from my spiritual master, and maybe 20, 30 years later the punchline came. Maybe it still has punchlines. At the time, I took it in one way and was still digesting. And Prabhupada said like that, right? My spiritual master gave me these instructions in 1922, and he was almost berating himself that I waited 40 years. But he said, but I was always meditating on how to do those. In fact, Prabhupada calls it the secret of success. So many times, if you just look up secret of success, he talks about taking the order of the spiritual master as one's life and soul. When Srila Prabhupada read Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport to 241, Vyavasayat Mikarbudhi, that's where he picked up this idea. Make the spiritual master's order your life and soul. And by this process, all purification happens. Yeah, so we don't necessarily even have to understand. What can we understand? Like right now we hear Krishna lifted a mountain as a 7-year-old boy or whatever it was. We can hear that. Understanding that in truth? Etang yoveti tatvata? Really? Understanding that in truth? That's going to be a bit of a journey. But the very fact that we're hearing it, and if we're hearing in a mood which Krishna sees as a pleasing mood, respectfully, and submissively, Krishna, the witness in our heart, does all of the work to bring about realization. Shrinvatam swakata Krishna punya shravana ketana hridyanto stohya badrani vidunosi saritsitam. All the abhadras, all the doubts, all the misgivings, all the misconceptions, all the ulterior motives, all these things are called abhadras, anarthas. Krishna says, if you're eager to hear, shrinvatam, I'll take care of it. Prabhuji, I think you had a question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the presentation, for the class. I just have one question, which is extrapolated from the Prabhupada's purport. Here it is said, quoting, Maharaj Parikshit was not to be carried away by the sentiments of common man to accept an incarnation of the Lord very cheaply. Instead, he wished to accept the incarnation of the Lord by symptoms mentioned in the Vedic literatures and confirmed by an acharya like Shukadev Goswami. So my question is, how can we as a preaching movement kind of inject this faith of accepting conclusions of the Vedic scriptures to the common man? Because many times on book distribution, we can have discussions back and forth, back and forth, but their faith is in different sort of a platform of scriptures, and our faith is in different platform of scriptures and different men. So we can judge by the activities and by the character of those which presented, but how can we actually create Shraddha in others?
Yeah, it's a great question. Thank you. We have to recognize that we're not the doers. So even those meetings, we might make the effort to go out and be Lord Krishna's instrument, go out to a street and stand there with the books and approach somebody. And whether they stop or not is clearly not, you know, in our control. Maybe we think occasionally we have mystic powers to stop people. But the reality is, I always took, I put two verses together in my own sort of meditations on book distribution around this point. Brahmanda Brahmiti Kon Bhagavanji Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beat. It describes that the living entities are wandering, Brahmiti. And we also hear that same word being used in Ishvara Savabhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati Brahmayan Savabhutani Yantarudhani Maya. But this is, if you think about the wording of that 1861, it's kind of almost oxymoronic. Directing the wanderings. Wanderings are aimless, aren't they? I'm wandering, I'm meandering, I'm not sure where I'm going or what I'm looking for, or I'm wandering. But Krishna's directing the wanderings. So I've always taken it that the jiva is just subjectively going about their pursuits of material happiness, not really knowing where to find it. But at some point, the witness in the heart, directing those wanderings, maybe he's directed them, even inspired them to into difficult positions so that they eventually come to their senses. They eventually become curious, inquisitive, open, humble, all of those things. Now, when we meet someone on book distribution, Krishna has directed that meeting. We have to be the most faithful conduit we can be. And we should be maybe modest in our expectations of exactly what impact we will have. If we can even create a little curiosity, a little favorable impression, even just the appetite to maybe read that book. This is why I feel that the language that we use when introducing the book should be something compelling that actually does inspire them to read. Now, of course, we can't control, we can't follow them home and check that they are reading, but hopefully if we've done something that creates that little bit of curiosity. And as we know, sometimes books live on shelves for years before someone picks them up. Sometimes sometimes they'll end up in some secondhand bookstore and someone else finds them. So it's not even always meant for that person that we've met. How can we awaken curiosity? How can we awaken? Because these things are also a part of Shraddha. It's going to be a big thing for them to go, wow, this is the revealed word of God. If I just read this, I'll awaken love of God. That's a very ambitious expectation to have on a chance encounter. But even if we can say, I remember my language, towards my final years of book distribution, I shouldn't say it like that because I seem to be ruling out that I'll go out again. But I used to ask people, so what do you think the purpose of life is? That was my opening question. What do you think, you know, is the source of happiness and so on? And I'd hear their answer and I'd do a little bit of empathy and then I'd say, well, this book explains it like this way and this way and this way, and try and sell them the book on those, on that basis. And just even that question, genuine inquiry about what's their current meaning-making about where happiness can be found, and giving them a suggestion that this was a book that was actually further elaborating on such questions. That's all I could ever hope for. That was my method. It wasn't necessarily the most prolific of methods, but I would also feel like there was a higher likelihood, at least in my mind, that those books would perhaps get browsed through. Prabhupada does most of the work. Like, Prabhupada actually even said that once to me, what good will your 5-minute talk do? Make sure they walk away with a book. And it is something mystical. Like, there are times I will read Srila Prabhupada's books and I'm like struggling. Oh wow, there's a lot. This is dense. This is a lot too. And I sometimes wonder, what will a newbie who's not even had exposure to any of these words and ideas and everything, and yet we see. And this is where, you know, again, our rational brain has to be challenged by our faithful brain. Faith to me is something beyond rationality. I don't mean it's sub-rational, below rationality. I mean it's beyond. Maybe we have enough information to say, yes, there's things here that Prabhupada has taught me that have given me practical guidance in this world. I can verify the truth of those claims. And then there's a bunch where it's going, I'm taking that on faith. Prabhupada's earned enough respect from me. He's given enough indications of being a spiritual advanced soul that I'll simply take that on faith. But we see that even happens with newbies. Prabhupada's still the absolute making more devotees than everybody else. And let's face it, you know, in the age of Kali, our movement will be battered and bruised by all that Maya can throw at it, or Kali could throw at it. And Prabhupada is the anchor for us all. Prabhupada is the one who, even if people's faith is shaken in everything else and everyone else, Srila Prabhupada is there, trusted and enlightening us. And it's true, if we just, that's why we even chant like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, we approach the all-pervading Lord as part of the invocation, because we're actually asking Krishna, please help me understand this. And I think we'll convey more through things like courtesy and speaking according to our realization when we're out trying to convince others than any dogma. There's sometimes that mentality in some neophytes where they almost like to shock the conditioned soul by telling them things that are so out there that actually it will completely bewilder them. And it's almost like, you know, check out how deep my conviction is. I'm even prepared to believe this. We learn that such behavior is actually an offense against the holy name, because it may, in fact, send someone a little backwards. It may, you know, deter them from taking Krishna consciousness interestingly, seriously. So Prabhupada often used to quote, Ye Krishna Bhajesi Bhada Chatur. You have to use your mind. You have to use your common sense. You have to use your... Actually, the word chatur means cunning. You have to be a little cunning. You have to be a little shrewd about what you do, what you don't share. But if we're sincere, if we just see ourselves as agents, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, Lord Krishna can all work through us. They're the doers. I hope that's okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.